Our reading today is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18.
Morning. Yeah. The Word became flesh. Sounds important. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Thank you.
I used to write a lot of little stories when I was younger, and I remember most of them starting with "Once Upon a Time." It always had an air of mystery to me, writing about things that might have happened in a long ago, forgotten or unknown time, or in an imaginary futuristic world. And they were always the perfect words to start a fairy tale, words that helped me step into my daydreams and create something just for me. And I've read a book recently that I think is just an amazing work of imagination, and yet it's about the truth of the gospel as well. And it's called The Divine Romance. I'm just going to read you a section from the prologue, and you'll see what I mean. He was alone. The first tick of time had never sounded, nor had the unending circle of eternity yet commenced. There were neither things created nor things uncreated to share space with him. He dwelt in an age before the Eternals, when all there was God. Nor was there space for anything else. He was the uncreated. He was the all. In this non-time of so long ago, there was but one life form, the highest life. He was also love. Passionate, emotional, expressive love. In this God, dwelling so all alone, there was a paradox. Though he was alone, he was also love. Yet there was no counterpart for him to love. A love so vast, so powerful, yet there was no other than. Then life pulsated, light blazed in newfound glory as revelation ascended in him, as he cried from within the council of the Godhead, "There can be two. I, the living God, shall have a counterpart." Exulting in revelation, he consecrated his whole being to this one task, to have a bride. For one brief moment, the infinite solitude retreated. But just before he launched his grand design, a very mysterious thing took place in God. Deep within the centre of his being, there occurred an event that no other eye was to see, no other mind to conceive. 1,000,000,000 portions of God burst upward in light. Each of these portions of God ignited into flaming brilliance, as if to proclaim that each had been chosen, even marked off for some special distant destiny. Having marked off these future destinies, the living God gave himself to making real his highest dream. Unending self-containment would end, and so he spoke, "Let there be." In so speaking, he relinquished being the all, making room for something other than the all of God. For one brief moment, there was God and a great abyss of nothingness. Never before, and only once since, has there been such a radical change in the history of God. Now, as "let there be" sounded across the sphere of nothingness, there came a blinding flash that filled that hollow void. Suddenly, there was not only the uncreated God, there was now something created. Created light. A picture of God now shared space with God. Once upon a time. And he was alone. Both great ways to begin a story. But what are the first three words of Genesis? In the beginning. And what are the first three words of John's Gospel? In the beginning. An author chooses their words carefully and with intent to convey a message. We might hear something other than their intent, and that's okay. We are creative beings who can arrive at differing interpretations and then look for the harmony, the truth in them. So what do I see here in the mirroring of "in the beginning" in Genesis and John? I see John wanting to take us back to where it all started, creation, and a world of darkness and chaos, in order to show us that the central figure in both creation and Christmas is Jesus. These are the first few words of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the beginning of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It's important to note that the Word here has a capital W. It's a name. At creation, God's Word pushed back the darkness, tamed the chaos, and shaped the world into a flourishing garden filled with peace and goodness. And John is saying the same thing is happening again in Jesus. The world Jesus entered was similar to the world at the beginning. Dark and chaotic, yes, and this time ruled by death. But into that darkness, God once again sends his Word, a person. And this time, the Word doesn't remain a distant voice creating from above. This time, the Word becomes flesh and enters the darkness himself. It's less of a beginning and more of a becoming, with the Creator becoming even more obviously involved with and bound to his creation. Here are some words from Luke chapter 2, and this is where the shepherds hear from the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." So the Creator is involved with his creation. This is the great mystery of the gospel. God becomes like us so that we can become like him. The Word, Jesus, takes on flesh so that flesh can be filled with the Word, Jesus. The light enters the darkness so that those trapped in darkness can come into the light. But John also tells us something devastating. The Creator came to his creation, but his creation did not recognize him. The light shone into the darkness, and our passage today tells us that the darkness has not understood it. The darkness resists the light, but it cannot overcome it. The light and love of Jesus is a flaming beacon of hope, not only for those who already know Jesus living within them, but also for those who will come to him. Those who believe in Jesus and receive him are born again, not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, recreated out of chaos, darkness, and death into the flourishing life of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 puts it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And in Romans 8, we find these words. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And the Spirit, capital S, himself testifies with our spirit, small s, that we are God's children. So we have those who are spiritually reborn and are God's children, and those who will be. But what about those who don't recognize the Creator, who resist the light and remain in darkness? Let's think back to Genesis 1 and God saying, "Let there be." He speaks. If you've ever read The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis, I'm sure you'll remember Aslan singing and speaking Narnia into being. The stars, the sun, the plants, the trees, the animals, and him choosing the talking beasts and speaking to them. It's a wonderful imagining of the creation story. And for the characters involved, we get to see how some of them are eager to embrace the hope, joy, and love they see in this brand new world, while others would rather close their eyes and stop their ears and get as far away as possible. The magician in the story is called Uncle Andrew. And this is what happened. Ever since the animals had first appeared, Uncle Andrew had been shrinking further and further back into the thicket. He watched them very hard, of course, but he wasn't really interested in seeing what they were doing, only in seeing whether they were going to make a rush at him. Like the witch, he was dreadfully practical. He simply didn't notice that Aslan was choosing one pair out of every kind of beast. All he saw, or thought he saw, was a lot of dangerous wild animals walking vaguely about. And he kept on wondering why the other animals didn't run away from the big lion. When the great moment came and the beasts spoke, he missed the whole point, for a rather interesting reason. When the lion had first begun singing, long ago when it was still quite dark, he had realised that the noise was a song. And he had disliked the song very much. It made him think and feel things he did not want to think and feel. Then when the sun rose and he saw that the singer was a lion, only a lion, as he said to himself, he tried his hardest to make believe that it wasn't singing and never had been singing, only roaring as any lion might in a zoo in our own world. Of course, it can't really have been singing, he thought. I must have imagined it. I've been letting my nerves get out of order. Whoever heard of a lion singing? And the longer and more beautiful the lion sang, the harder Uncle Andrew tried to make himself believe that he could hear nothing but roaring. Now, the trouble about trying to make yourself stupider than you really are is that you very often succeed. Uncle Andrew did. He soon did hear nothing but roaring in Aslan's song. Soon he couldn't have heard anything else, even if he had wanted to. And when at last the lion spoke and said, "Narnia, awake," he didn't hear any words. He heard only a snarl. And when the beast spoke in answer, he heard only barkings, growlings, bayings, and howlings. And when they laughed, well, you can imagine. That was worse for Uncle Andrew than anything that had happened yet. Such a horrid, bloodthirsty din of hungry and angry brutes he had never heard in his life. Of course, Uncle Andrew had a choice, and so do we. Will we remain in the darkness, or will we embrace the light? Will we keep as far away from God as possible? Or will we eagerly accept adoption into his family, becoming his children? Before Jesus was born, our recreation out of chaos, darkness, and death was impossible. The law that was given through Moses was good, and it was meant to bring God's light and life into the world. Instead, it highlighted sin and showed that humans fail to keep the law. So God implemented his rescue plan. John puts it like this. The Word, capital W, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So, in his grace, God sent not just words, small w, on stone tablets, but his very Word, capital W, in flesh and blood. Jesus, the Word, accomplishes in himself what the law could not. He shows us God's glory, makes God known, and speaks life into us, so we can become children of God. Of course, Jesus, the baby, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, grew up to become the man who challenged the religious authorities of his day, and they killed him for it. But Jesus, who raised Lazarus to life, pointing to what was to come, rose from the dead and appeared to many people. These verses from chapter 1 of 1 Peter say it better than I can. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Oh, and remember this. God's counterpart, the bride, that's us. We are the objects of his great love, and there is room for us, for me, and for you at the wedding feast in heaven. Amen. Father, you spoke, let there be. And it was. Thank you that John reminds us that Jesus is the Word at the beginning. And that nothing has been made apart from through him. We worship you. We give you thanks. We praise you for your glory. We know that we sin. And we know that your rescue plan was put into action all those years ago when Jesus arrived as a baby. And we look each year for his coming, and maybe we should look for it every day and remember that you sent your Son. And because of your Son, we can be counted righteous and we can be free. There are so many things to thank you for, and so many let there be prayers that we could pray, things that we want to bring to you, to give to you, to trust you for your mercy, for your healing, for your grace, for the way that you can bring change and hope. Let's take some time now to give thanks and to say our let there be prayers. Jesus, you were the Word in the beginning, one with God Most High. Those are words from an absolutely beautiful song that I didn't choose. But I just love the way it says that you didn't want heaven without us. And so, Jesus, you brought heaven down. Thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you.